my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Lovely words. Football season's in full swing, as you know. So I thought it right last week to go to Rome and see what the Italians do with footballs. I'm going to show you one or two things now on the screen. Now, if you think it's not quite conventional, the way that it's put, I've just picked up a few ideas from Rome, so don't blame me if you think the positions are out of place, all right? Now, if you had to select 11 footballers from the Bible, I wonder whom you would choose and why. Everyone here, I'm sure, knows many, many people from Scripture in a whole variety of ways. And some of them we know quite well and some we don't. So we're going to look and consider some of them. So start with in goal, number one. We need someone who's going to save the ball from going into the net and stopping the opposition scoring a goal. We need someone who can really defend and make sure that we have and that we keep a clean sheet. That horse has, of course, to be Jesus, because he's the only one who can save and who does save. He is the one who's going to be our goalkeeper. He's our number one. There you have it up the screen there, Jesus. A right back, we need someone when he's made a bad mistake, runs back quickly to make everything right, rushes back to save the situation. Jonah is our right back, he's our number two. We need someone to balance the team though at left back, and our choice is the prodigal son. He slowly learnt from making very bad decisions, very bad mistakes, running away from his father, wasting everything, but he hurried back to rectify the situation, back to the father. So he's our number three. In the centre field we need a really strong, resilient, hard to beat player, and someone who's going to be at the heart of the defence, the one on whom we can always rely, the rock at the centre, holding everyone and everything together. That, of course, is Peter. He's our number four. In midfield, we need someone who's going to be working hard, non-stop. Who better than Martha? She'd made a wrong choice, putting her work before spending time with Jesus, but she learnt. Now never knows when to stop. She's so busy. She just keeps on going. So she's our number five. She needs players on either side of her who, like her, will work hard and support her. So on her right, we have Zacchaeus. He has all the opposition defenders in his back pocket, that one. He gives back much more than he's taken, so he is our number six. On the left, we have the angel Gabriel. Now, he's always in the right place at the right time, essential to the team. He doesn't make any mistakes. He's God's man. He's on the wing, faithful and obedient, so he's our number seven. In front of them, on the left, we have the captain, Survivor. Someone else who made mistakes, but he's a natural leader. Good with people, brilliant at passing, over. It has to be Moses. He leads folk out of trouble. He's our number eight. Just behind the two strikers, we have Joseph. Although having been dumped, he's in the hole, feeding the team, keeping them fit, spreading the play. With all the right passes, he's our number nine. Now down to the real business end. We have two more strikers. First one is Noah. Now he scores high, he scores a lot. He always gets two at a time. So you can't beat that, can you? He's our number 10. The second one up front is David. His leadership and accuracy will be deadly. Also good at leading people. He's our number 11. What a team. But what happens if they're injured? Well, just in case that happens, we've selected seven substitutes who are on the bench, ready to go on. First one is Rahab. She really deserves a start. She's brilliant, risking her life for the whole team when they're in danger. Then we have Samson, a very strong man. If he gets personal and physical, he's the man you want in your team. Then we have Jeremiah. Well, actually, no, he's lying on his side by the team bus, just in case we need him. Very obedient man. He's always physically acting out God's word. We have Mary, a strong, faithful lady who's never flustered by what happens. She's always ready and willing to serve. We also have James and John, the ultimate wingmen, always in tune with what's going on. John is always looking ahead of the game. James, very much a down-to-earth guy. Those two are very much on the ball. Then there's a surprise one, there's Thomas. Won't surprise you he's on the bench, because we have a few doubts about Thomas. Doubts about his fitness and his commitment. Finally, we have Daniel. always useful to have in reserve. He's calm when everything else around him is stacked against him, not fazed by opposition, flames, and indeed wild animals. But what a team! One who can save anything, then those who defend, those who work hard, those who never give up, those who are brilliant, those who learn from their mistakes, those who are faithful, and those who score and get results. What more could anyone want? Individually you may think, well, they're not that good. But together, what a formidable team. What a team, isn't it? Turn too many pages. Whoops. Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, in goal, saving everybody. Jonah, who learnt the hard way. The prodigal son, who really went off the rails but came back to the Father. Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times but later boldly stood up and preached to the thousands in the crowd about Jesus. We have Moses, who led the people of Israel through thick and thin to the promised land. He had some battles, didn't he? Do you remember the crossing of the Red Sea? The Israelites, remember, were fleeing on foot from the chariots of the Egyptian army. One young lad went home after the Sunday morning service. He'd been to Sunday school. And his mum said, well, what did you learn about today? He said, the Red Sea. She said, well, tell me what happened. What went on with that event? What actually happened? He said, well, the Egyptian tanks were chasing after the fleeing Israelites, slowly catching them up. Having safely crossed the bridge over the sea, Moses and his army turned round, used their cannons, all the firepower, totally destroyed the whole Egyptian army, blew them right away. That can't be right, said him. He said, you're right, but you never believe what really happened. Noah, obedient to God, building an ark when everyone was laughing at him, saying he was a fool, saving not only his family but loads of animals as well. David, a mighty king of Israel, a true worshipper of God. John, who faithfully related the events of Jesus' life. Zacchaeus, that crooked man we had a laugh about just now, who repaid all his illegal earnings with interest. What he'd stolen, he repaid four times the amount he took. And on top of that, gave half of what he had to the poor. So what a team we got there. It is one of the many things that inspires me about the Bible, actually. If I'd been writing the Bible, I'd have no wars, no murder, everybody good, everybody holy, all having a fantastic time, nothing going wrong, certainly no disobedience to God, but everyone pure and holy. But that, in one sense, is the point of the whole Bible. It looks at creation as it is. It shows us how many people God chose, and then they went astray. We see murderers, adulterers, swindlers, people making mistakes, people rebelling against God, people doing evil things. Yet one thing they have in common, they all turned round, asked God to forgive them, and came back to him. God forgave them. What a God we have. I remember when I was in business, one or two people I spoke to about Jesus said, oh, I've done too many bad things, I can't go to church, Jesus wouldn't want to know me. Read the Bible. Whatever we do, whenever we go wrong, if we're faithful and willing to come back to God, he will forgive us and set us free from those sins. And when you look at the world now, not much has changed, has it? All the bad things I've just mentioned we see going on day by day. And as the world population increases, I think we need Jesus even more than we ever did. The point about the Bible is that it shows us how, in spite of all those bad things, God opens his arms on the cross for us in the same way of Jesus. He turns away from us all our wrongdoings, all our wickedness. But where there is sin, there's always a price to pay. But the good news is that Jesus has paid that price for us on the cross. The price of all that, all our sinfulness, all our wrong mistakes, all our evil doings was paid for us, you and me, on the cross by Jesus. You and I, we pay nothing. All we have to do is turn to him. God knows that we go our own way. He knows that we fall into bad behavior. He sees that. He knows it. But he wants to rebuild you and me. He wants to rebuild his creation. He wants to restore a relationship between us and him individually, you and me. And that is why Jesus came to earth. The Bible lovingly demonstrates how God deals with those who follow him. But he also warns us of the results of those who turn away. God made us, each one of us. You and I, we are his creation. He wants us to be in touch with him, having a good relationship with him. It's our sin that separates us from God. It puts a barrier between us and him. But in spite of all that, he's standing with his arms open on the cross, asking us to come to him. We and God can now be one. So what is the best team that you and I could possibly have? The best team for you and me would be to have God, the Holy Trinity, a team of three. In our lives, that's all we shall ever need, not just today, but forever. First in the team, God, who made the world, the Creator who made the world and everything in it. If one tells you that the vast majority of people in the world believe about God in some form or another. The survey in the UK showed that the vast majority of people who live here say they believe in God, or a superior being. As we look at creation, simple things like animals, fruit, plants, it's obvious that none of it is an accident. Look at your birth, how you were born. I still find that one of the most amazing things, that just from a small drop of fluid, you and I can be born. We have eyes, ears, minds, brains, or some brains, arms, legs, all from what? Virtually nothing, just a little something. Now, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. We are not here by accident. So in our personal team, our number one is God the Father. Second, our number two is Jesus Christ, Son of God, the one who came and died for us, so that we could be reconciled to the Father in heaven. Jesus, the one who paid the price for all our sins on the cross. Why? Because God loves us. God loves you. God loves me. He loves all of his creation. And Jesus lived on here on earth, and he showed us and taught us how we should be living. Thirdly, our number three, God the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides us and leads us through every moment of every day. He is the one who gives us power to live as children of God. We don't just have to waddle about in the middle of nowhere in darkness. He will guide us and lead us. What a team, a perfect team, a team of three, totally united as one. No divisions, just supremely one. And all that we need to live a good Christian life is covered in those in that team. So let's look at three teams. First, we have the one I've just mentioned, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the perfect team. Secondly, we have the Bible characters team that we just run through. Apart from Jesus on that team, all had sinned. All had sinned. But all of them came later to faith. Number three, the church team. What is needed for us here? So have a godly team here in the church itself. Now I believe that's what was summed up in those Bible characters. People who come to centres, their senses. That's all that we need. We need to be those who are careful, who are eager, who are willing, who are faithful. We don't let one another down. And determined to walk with Jesus. It's Jesus' church, and he has to be at the center. He is the one who saves. The church also needs you, each one needs me. Christian people, Christian leaders, we need Christians who defend, Christians who care, Christians who work hard, Christians who are brilliant, Christians who score and get results. Those are good, committed team players. And the strength of any team, whether it's a church team or a football team, is about unity. Where there's real strength in the unity of purpose and unity of character, there'll be a very good godly team. When a team stands and sticks together, together there is strength in losing as well as winning. Where there's division, there's always weakness. One thing the devil rejoices in is a divided church. The devil loves it. Division always brings disaster. The strength of any team, the church team, the football team, wherever, is in its unity, unity in Jesus, unity between one another, between each one of us. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, words of Jesus. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. It's about being together, sticking together, covering for one another, being one. Jesus must come first in our lives, and first in everything, really. Everything else has to be second, third, fourth, fifth, or whatever. Jesus is always number one, always first. Remember this, there's real strength in unity, unity in purpose, and unity in character. To God be the glory. Amen.